Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message on this Pentecost Sunday is this: The Church Needs Power. Based on our Acts 2 reading, especially these verses. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. I invite you to turn your worship folder over and find there the sermon outline as we consider our theme, The Church Needs Power. You know that I recently added up the numbers. There are more than 100 Christian churches in the Richmond-Ladner area. That's a pretty big number. That averages out to be approximately one church for every 250 men and women and boys and girls in our area. These churches represent many different denominations, many different of architectural structure, many type of worship styles. But the question I have for you today is this: how can there be so many churches and yet so much sin and suffering at the same time? How can we have so many churches and so much crime and violence and so many family trouble in our community? You'd think with so many churches in the area, the conditions would be different, but they're not. Your church is supposed to be the wellspring of hope and healing for a sinful world. When you look around today, it doesn't seem to be the case. Despite the number of Christians and Christian churches, it often seems our influence on society and societal problems is pretty minimal. I have only one thing to say about this situation. The church needs power. We don't need new music. We don't need new pews as much as we need new power. We don't need new buildings as much as we need some spiritual life inside the buildings we already have. We don't need new and fun events as much as we need a revival in each of our hearts. We have pastors. We have programs. We have potlucks. But they seem to have little influence beyond the church walls in which they operate. And they touch few people's lives who are just living outside the doors of the buildings in which we gather. When I was a seminary professor, one of the last things I told our new graduates was this: when you come into the community of your first church as a new pastor, before you let the cat out of the bag and let them know who you are and what you do, ask some of your neighbors, people in the grocery store, those you bump into in the athletic fields. Ask them this question: what do you know about the Lutheran church in town? And hopefully their answer will not be, there's a Lutheran church in town? When I've asked the same questions here in Richmond, when I first arrived next month 6 years ago, when I asked that question, here are the answers I got. Oh, that's the church with the A-frame and the big stained glass window. Oh, shortly afterward, that's the church with the new red sign out in front that lights up at night. And someone said, oh, that's the church that gives away free hot dogs. A reference to Open Doors Richmond in the past. Now, on the one hand, it's nice that our neighbors know we're here. And there's certainly nothing wrong with A-frame stained glass windows and hot dogs. But is this what we want our church to be known for? in a community that's filled with sin and heartache and separation from God. There are deep spiritual needs all around us that will never be met by stained glass and hot dogs. They can only be addressed with the very power of God. The church needs power. Our church needs power. Now, this isn't the first time the church was without power in the city in which it was located. The same thing was true in the city of Jerusalem as described by the opening lines of the book of Acts. The epistle lesson Everett just read for us from Acts 22. Listen to the text. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had just ascended in Easter resurrection victory. The whole world was awaiting the gospel message, his message of his victory over sin, death, and the devil, but not a sound could be heard. Not one sound. The disciples who had been called by Jesus and trained by Jesus to get the message all over the earth were huddled for fear in a second story of a house. They were hiding from the very people who needed their message. They were whispering to each other behind locked doors rather than shouting to Jerusalem the message of the victory of the Savior. Right outside the doors where they gathered were the crippled and the sick. Right outside the doors where they gathered were the spiritually hungry. Right outside their doors were the Roman soldiers of war, desperately needing the message of the Prince of Peace. Right outside their doors were the religious people going through their religious motions, ignorant of the Messiah who had just come. But these disciples could not offer the world outside their doors anything because they had no power. But thank God, on that first day, that day of Pentecost, something happened that transformed these frightened men behind closed doors into the men whom Acts 17 verse 6 says turned the world upside down. What happened on that first Pentecost that today's church should not just remember, but pray to God that He would do again? The Holy Spirit of Almighty God fell upon those people in a mighty way. These men were given God's own power, so they left behind the locked doors and proclaim to the world around them that He is risen indeed. Now remember, these were not educated men. They were common laborers. We'd call them blue-collar workers. They barely spoke any language well, even their own native Hebrew tongue. But by a miracle of God, did you hear the epistle Everett read this morning? By a miracle of God, people of many different countries with many different languages heard these uneducated men proclaim the good news of Jesus, each in their own native tongue, at the same time, without need for a translator. Listen to the text, Acts 2, verse 7 and following. And there in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And the multitude was amazed because each one of them was hearing their disciples speak in their own language the mighty works of God. The power of God came in a mighty way so that the good news of Jesus was proclaimed to all. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, the gospel of Christ is God's power unto salvation. By the end of the day, Peter had a day every pastor just prays for. At the end of that day, at the end of his preaching, Acts 2 tells us, 3,000 people came to saving faith through Christ by the power of the Spirit and were added to the church that day. All of this happened because these men who had no influence and no education and no power were filled with the Spirit of God, and now they had power. They could pray with power. They could preach with power. They could witness with power. They could serve others in Christ's name with power. On this Pentecost day, I'm inviting you to join me today, and we will at the end of the sermon, to pray to God that something similar would happen to us now. That God would wake us up. And with that statement, I just did. That God would wake us up and make us so alive. Not just this church, but every Christian church around us. That we would have the very power of God to address the needs in this community. Outside these very walls in which we worship Sunday after Sunday are people who are spiritually starving, families that are broken, sinners filled with guilt. They need what we have. The men left that upper room that day, those disciples, and they were so excited with the gospel message of Jesus. Did you hear the text? Some people said, here's the quote from Acts 2, they've had too much wine to drink. Now, certainly, none of us in our congregation want to appear to be publicly intoxicated. But how nice it would be for each of us to have our hearts more set on fire for the good news of Jesus Christ, so that the world around us would say, what's got into those people? Did you notice the red paraments on the altar? The red stoles on myself this morning? Red is the liturgical color for Pentecost, the red fire of the Spirit. Today, in this place, we need the fire of the Spirit to fall upon us. It's so easy for us today to become complacent, lazy, and satisfied, and not live for Jesus in a world that so desperately needs Him. Please, God, let what happened to Peter happen to us. You see, before Pentecost, the last anybody heard of Peter was that three times he denied his Lord before a rooster crowed once. But now, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter is preaching such a powerful sermon that 3,000 came to faith in his one sermon. Friends, let me ask you right now. Let me ask you a what if question. It's on your sermon outline. Take a look. It might shock a few of you. Let me ask you a what if question. What if we here at Trinity had somehow discovered a cure for cancer? Just imagine a cure for one of the worst killers of people all over the world. A cure for that damnable disease that's taken so many of our loved ones. A cure for that disease that continues to plague you and me and all whom we love. A cure for all people. And we've got it. Sharing that cure would mean the end of cancer for all time. And it wouldn't cost us a dime. It would be absolutely free. What would we do? Tell me. What would we do? We'd share it. We'd give it away. We simply could not keep it to ourselves. It would mean life for the world. But the truth is, we have a cure for something much worse than cancer. We have a cure for something much worse than an earthly disease. we have a cure for sin and hell and eternal death. The cure is the great physician himself. His name is Jesus. What was it that Peter preached on that first Pentecost Sunday that turned the world upside down? What was it that Peter preached on that first Pentecost Sunday that saved 3,000 souls in one day? What was it that Peter preached that still needs to be preached today for people's forgiveness and hope? What is it that alone is your hope? The hope of Richmond, the hope of Canada, the hope of the world. His name is Jesus. On the cross, Jesus defeated sin. On the cross, Jesus defeated death. On the cross, Jesus defeated the devil. On the cross, Jesus, the precious Son of God, gave his life for you and settled once and for all your eternal account with Almighty God. The Bible tells us clearly in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The wages that we each should be paid for our sin is death and eternal hell and separation from God. But God, in his love for each of us, sent his Son to settle your account. And in God's heavenly ledger, where once it read every sin of which you were committed and of which you were guilty, all that God reads is, through the blood of Christ, this account is paid in full. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah put it this way. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his wounds we are healed. I don't need to tell you today that outside the four walls of this church building and in every one of our homes, there's a lot of healing that needs to be done today. Sin healing, emotional healing, family healing, societal healing. Jesus can heal Richmond today. Jesus can heal our world today. Who will get the word out? I want you to think about what the Lord has done in your life. And if he has blessed you in any way, let the world know it. If he has made for you a way when there was no way, let the world know it. If you were sick and he healed you, let the world know it. If you were laid low but he restored your joy, let the world know it. If you were frightened, but he remained right by your side, let the world know it. If the preaching and teaching of God's word in this place has ever touched your heart and made a difference in your life, then let the world know it. Psalm 107 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Imagine, just for a moment, would you? Imagine the impact on our community when each of the 300 members of this congregation let one other person know what Jesus Christ has done for them. Would you please bow your heads with me in prayer? Dear God, today on this day of Pentecost, call down your Holy Spirit upon us that we might have your power to impact our world. Open the doors of our church building so that the good news of Jesus we share week after week inside this building might spill out into the streets of Richmond and the world in which we live. Give us, O Lord, we pray, a holy burden for all people in need of your love and healing. Dear Lord, you have blessed us as a congregation. But help us here at Trinity not to be complacent or satisfied or unwilling to take risks. Lord, give us your power. For Jesus' sake, for the sake of the world, in Jesus' name, amen.